Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara. We're building backwards at the running back position. So, again, we've done receiver, we've done quarterback, we've done tight end at this point. Going through wide running backs. I think this year's notable. And I just say this, I think you can go later. It just seems like some of the guys push back a handful of rounds. And as we sort of get into this, you'll see what I'm talking about, where guys like Madison and that type were much more 10th, 11th rounders last year. This year, we're looking 14th rounders. That's really nice. The Gio Bernard, sort of cheapest one injury away guy on the board, that was more like 20th, 21st rounder this year. 23rd, 24th, 25th for some of the guys that we like this year. So I do think it's possible to go later at the position, which is pretty nice, because as we sort of look and sort of build these out, there's some sweet spots at wide receiver, for example, where historically we would think running back, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th round, sort of that range, that arc of the draft. It's not as... there's some good running backs in that range, but that's not entirely the I don't think that going in that range necessarily subverts our strategy as much as it would maybe last year. So I think that's a notable, you know, just a 35,000 foot view sort of the position. I think that's really notable. All right, so working backwards here. Last one on the board, 2708. It's 2709. It's Matt Breida. And I think Matt Breida is an interesting one in Buffalo. We haven't seen a ton of Zach Moss. I've liked what I've seen out of Singletary. I don't know. They have a type, which is guys that break a lot of tackles. That's kind of what they want. And Breida kind of fits the bill. So it wouldn't shock me. Again, I think at this point of the year, we have to think in sort of the scope of Myles Gaskin. Think of, hey, let's think of things that wouldn't shock. That's one that wouldn't shock. I wouldn't put it at a favorite. I think Singletary is the best running back in the backfield. But the fact that Breida is this cheap is pretty notable. It's 90. Like I said, he's running back 95. Some backups here are some older guys, 2603 for both of them. That's Le'Veon Bell and Mark Ingram. You know, we'll see where Bell signs. That would be a threat potentially to some of the existing starters. Ingram, more of an injury away guy, but it's kind of a clouded situation. I think the best bet for one injury away guys throughout the entire position, 2506 in terms of price, in terms of role, in terms of potential risk opportunities, Devontae Booker, running back 86. Love that price. Another one I think is really interesting, Kadre Allison, 2505, a running back 87. So that's a range. Again, that's later than historically we've seen these guys. That is late. I think that's pretty notable. Samaje Perine, 2503 as well, 85 overall. Benny Snell, 24th round. Damian Williams, 24th round. Wayne Gallman, if you're looking for a share out of the San Francisco backfield, and he's probably, now we're kind of down to three. And I think we're at Sermon, we're at Mostert, and then Jeff Wilson gets hurt. We'll sort of see what happens. That type of situation can move away from a player pretty quickly, especially one with low pedigree. Gallman, there, you know, and I think he's shown that he can play kind of in the Jamal Williams sense of, can do a lot of things well. That archetype tends to stick around for longer than we might necessarily appreciate in terms of true NFL type skill set. The fantasy community tends to underrate those guys. I think that's a notable skill. The guys that stick around, I think, is notable. Kenny Ngonwu, cheaper rookies in terms of, you know, being early in the fourth round, or, you know, in the fourth round, early on day three, underappreciated in terms of where he's going in drafts. I think that one's notable. Again, I got a fair amount of my shares in rookie drafts this year. And this is actually an area, 23rd round. There's some competition. You got Kerryon Johnson there as well. Justin Jackson going a little bit ahead of that. We think of Kerryon Johnson got more pedigree, maybe do a little bit more. Justin Jackson, I think, is an interesting one. I sort of like some of the efficiency stuff that he's done, even though I think the role hasn't been that big. But you look at potential backups for Austin Eckler, and all of a sudden, like, is Joshua Kelly all that great? Justin Jackson, I don't think he's all that great either, but he's actually shown, I think, to be better than Joshua Kelly. So at a pretty deep discount. Darrell Williams, another one I like quite a bit, 2205, 75th running back off the board. Malcolm Brown going right above him at 2109 at 69th at the position. Geo's in that range too. I think with Geo is I just don't know. Like even if he's you give him sort of the James White treatment, I'm not sure how difference making that is. You know, even if he posts running back 24 on the season, for example, I'm not sure how comfortable you're ever going to be starting him. And so that would just be my concern with him. I obviously like the player. I've liked the player for a while, but I'm just not sure. You know, if he gets some of the buzz, like, oh, he's going to be James White, and we could see some rise in his price, you know, go third to second, something like that. I don't hate that idea. I feel like it could be a lineup trap, and I tend not to like those guys at the position. Give me the clarity. Yeah, I'd rather have the one injury away guy, the pure injury away guy, than the committee receiving guy lower on down the line. As I said, Malcolm Brown, 2109, really like that one. I think there's a non-zero chance that he's a starter with Miami. And we've seen that he is liked in the NFL. We don't get a ton of this. And, you know, so other sports, you might see guys continue to get other shots, you know, and you know, there's more movement when there's more longevity. And you might see in the NBA that, for example, the NFL, like, you don't get a ton of these opportunities where you keep getting guys seeing tons of shots or getting lots of opportunities and stuff. We know Detroit, the old regime there was interested in signing him. The Rams brought him back. So we sort of got dual confirmation there in terms of, yeah, he's pretty good. And now Miami brings him in. So, again, we've seen this is basically some reassurance that he's, quote, good. And I think that's a really, really interesting feature to him is we have a lot of confirmation what the NFL thinks about him. And I think that's a good thing when you get sorted down this line. Joshua Kelly going right above him, 20.12, 69th running back there off the board. Tevin Coleman probably represents the cheapest guy that I think could potentially be a starter week one. So that's 20.07. And I think that, you know, running back 63, I think that's interesting. And I've been on him a little bit. I think maybe some of the guys, it's interesting because some of the guys after him, you could make an argument, might have higher impact. And he might be, you know, at best, he's like a committee plus type in terms of how we think about the position. I think it is notable though, because he's one that, you know, similar to Malcolm Brown, we've seen him get multiple shots, you know, and this is a coaching staff that knows him, so that's good. And, you know, we don't necessarily have a clear answer at the position. And so all those things kind of point to me like, I've seen some notes there out of Jets media that, you know, it's Coleman, it's Carter, Ty Johnson got a mention from some of the coaching staff reviews, not LaMichael Perine. So Perine's going right above him. I think that's a notable omission. Right, that's admission by omission in terms of what they think about him. So I think that's notable. Coleman and Perine going basically back to back in the 20th round. Give me Coleman. Sony Michel, 19-10. Again, I don't know what the upside is. Maybe he's a cut candidate and resurface. Right? That might actually be better for his value or his, you know, difference-making ability. So that would be one, you know, if he landed in Atlanta, for example. Like that would be a situation where I think we could maybe have a little bit higher hopes for him, but it's a kind of a clouded situation as New England typically is. And you sort of look at some of the other guys, I think they have a clearer role. For example, Latavius Murray, 17-11, right above him, running back 58. I think when you look at that, Murray's got a much clearer out. You kind of know what the logo is going to do for us, whereas I'm not necessarily sure we have that on Sony Michel. Going up above him, I think it bears mentioning. So Rashad Penny, 1706, 55. Again, I think at the cost, there's probably some other options we probably like later than him. For example, I mean, maybe this is probably a little bit tight end range too, as we're sort of building this out. I'm not sure I necessarily love the cost with him relative to other positions. Jamal Williams, we've heard he's an A back. I'm not sure what that's going to mean, but that's not, you know, he's not an F back, which is nice. He's not a C back. I don't know what an A back means in terms of fantasy viability, but it's better than letters later in the alphabet is sort of what I'm thinking. So I think he's notable. Again, it's kind of the Jamal Williams theory, right? Which is guys that hang around for maybe more than we think, right? It's the competent, right? It's the competent employee theory, and he absolutely fits that. So it can do a lot of things at or above baseline, and at a position where we say it doesn't matter, that's pretty valuable, right? It's a pretty valuable thing. So I think that's notable, and he allows you to, again, he's not going to be a superstar in any particular facet, but can allow you to be multiple, right? Can play in the receiving game, can block, can run on the interior, can do all of those things. Like it's a lot of versatility. And you know, is he on the David Johnson spectrum in terms of that skill set? No, but it's not a ton of guys, right? When you put Sony Michel in, you don't really think he's going to be a threat in the receiving game. And we've seen Jamal Williams have viability as basically being a flex play as the backup. And I think that actually speaks well to him instead of, you know, some of the poo-pooing that goes on of him. Ramondre Stevenson is actually pretty aggressively priced in terms of all of this. So 15-12, that's up there with some of the higher end backups at the position. So I think that's a notable one. Again, I'm not sure I necessarily am totally on board with that. I think there's guys, you know, I think Latavius Murray, for example, is a better bet this year. Stevenson maybe a little bit more long term, but I am not sure that situation ever totally clears itself up. And you've got Damian Harris there. You know, it could be a year away from being a year away. And I think that's kind of the thing with Stevenson. Like, again, I like the player and I like what he has to offer in terms of some of his metric profile. But we'll see there. I think it's a little bit aggressively priced. For example, Gus Edwards, true injury away guy, same round, 15th round. So I think that's one. You know, Gus Edwards, we're making a target player. At that cost, is Ramondre Stevenson. I'm glad we got him in rookie drafts at a discount. You know, that's kind of what I think with him there. I'm not necessarily thinking that he's totally a target at where he's at, but you sort of see where he is relative to the position and just how much, like, more secure some of the guys actually later in the draft are. I think it's a notable feature this year. David Johnson, 1405. He's probably the cheapest, what I would consider convincing round week one starter. Devin Singletary right there with him, 14th round. Give me David Johnson over Devin Singletary. Madison's actually going ahead of both of them, so that's also notable. Running back 44, 14th round. Again, he's fallen basically 3-4 rounds since where he was last year, and that's kind of what we see with that pedigree. So not entirely surprising. I still like the player. I still like the profile. I still like the one injury away role. Kenyon Drake, 1304. Again, is he one injury away? Is he committee plus? I think that's notable. You put him in there with James Conner, who's going same round, 1301. Tony Pollard, 1206, Raheem Mostert, 1201. Again, so that's kind of your core guys of like injury away, committee plus with Mostert, I guess a little bit. But that's kind of your core injury away guys right there. You kind of just hit them five right in a row. Mostert, Pollard, Connor, Drake, and Madison. That's kind of your core high-end elite one injury away guys. Dylan's going ahead of that as well. But I think sort of that range is one where we can look at it and say, you know, Dylan's basically going another round ahead of them. So you get Zach Moss, 1109. Fournette is kind of in that sort of tier two. And then you get A.J. Dillon at 1012. So basically the 1012 through like 1401. That's kind of a core group of the higher end starter, one injury away guys. So, or committee plus with Fournette. You know, is Fournette a starter, or if does he need a Ronald Jones injury to be a true guy? Either way, I think there's outs there. And actually, if what's interesting about him is like you sort of look at, I think Dylan is ahead of Fournette in cost. He is ahead of him. I don't think he is. But when you sort of think about that for a second, you say, okay, what does Dylan need to go right? Well, Dylan needs Aaron Jones to either get injured or not be there, right? He needs him to leave in free agency or whatever to basically be viable. And I think that that's kind of a multi-year play. But when you sort of look at Fournette, you're like, all right, what needs to go right for him to be valuable? Well, he can just win the job outright. Again, I don't know how high-end that job ultimately is with sort of what they've done with the rest of their backfield. But I think it's a really interesting it's a really interesting opportunity at that cost. Again, if you're sort of waiting on the running back position, you can compile a lot of these guys and I think get some upside out of them. So I think Fournette's interesting, you know, from a two-way go opportunity where you get the rest of the guys kind of in this range are more, you know, I guess Mostert is a little bit of a two-way go too. But I think and I guess Drake to some degree, I don't know how much the upside ultimately is. Some of the other guys in this range you're kind of looking at and you're saying, okay, like it's one injury away versus kind of committee plus, but one injury away upside. It's an interesting sort of bet on what you want to make in this range. And there's horizon type concerns too. You got some of the guys in the younger end, like the Madison and Dylan types, going in with guys like who are a little bit on the older side, which is the Fournette, the Mostert type. So I think it's a really interesting balance there. Again, I'd probably go, I'd probably go Fournette over Dylan. And I think the rest of them are pretty interesting in terms of how they're laid out. Again, I'd go Madison probably over Drake and probably over Connor as well. I think Pollard's in there. That's fair. I'd probably rather have those guys than Zach Moss, for example. What I think is even more notable about Fournette, too, is when you look at he's actually going behind Ronald Jones. And listen, I actually have come around on Ronald Jones, but the lack of passing game is a real thing with him. And I think he's a better runner. I think he's a better interior runner than I thought he was coming out of college. He's actually grown in that sense. He hasn't grown as a pass catcher. We know that Fournette can catch passes. And when we sort of compare these two, they're both on a year window. I think that's a notable, there's a difference in cost there. And I think the upside is pretty significantly different in terms of Fournette's got top 12 upside if things broke right for him. Whereas I don't think Ronald Jones could press that at all. So I think that's a notable difference there. As we sort of go up a little bit more too, now we're sort of getting into the guys that are on the lower, a little bit more into the lower end starters. So Damian Harris is in there at 10.09, which is the same as Ronald Jones. I think Harris has more upside than Ronald Jones and a better shot at that job too. So that's pretty significant. I think Ronald Jones is probably he's actually going a little bit ahead of where he was last year, which is notable and doesn't make a ton of sense, honestly. So that's and Harris is actually going a little bit more expensive as well than he was last year. It's a little bit later. It's notable that I think both of them have had opposite sort of years in terms of their arcs over the past year. And they sort of end up in the same spot. It's an interesting feature. But you sort of see up in this range, you get James Robinson's up here too. Again, he's an injury away plus committee plus confusing. Hunt is up there as well. And then you sort of see the guys, that's basically kind of the cap on the injury away guys proper, I guess. You know, like Hunt himself's a committee plus more than just a true backup. So that's kind of what you're seeing in this range. Again, give me Hunt significantly over James Robinson just because I think we've seen a lot of what Hunt can do. We don't necessarily know what Robinson's going to be offering in this new iteration of this offense. Mike Davis, 9.11. Right next to Michael Carter at 9-10, Chase Edmonds at 8-12. So I think that round difference between Edmonds and Davis is notable. I think I'd probably flip that script in terms of how I would take them, take Davis ahead of Edmonds. But it's, you know, that's, he has prototypical size. We have seen upside out of him. I think Edmonds is younger, so that's kind of what you're seeing there. Give me Davis up ahead of him. Trey Sermon is actually ahead of all of them at 8.06, which is interesting, right after Myles Gaskin at 7.12. So I wonder if people would really spend, you know, the like a first-round rookie pick on Myles Gaskin, but but Trey Sermon is going in that range and, you know, in start one, and he's going a little bit later in the draft. So that's a notable distinction there. Gaskin's interesting because I think he – you know, his metric stuff from last year was really notable. Running back 25.5 in terms of his median. Again, I don't hate it. What I probably will not be doing is him because of other positions, right? So I think that that's really the thing with him. You sort of get in this range, and I can pitch a guy like Kareem Hunt. I can pitch a guy like Chris Carson. Heck, I could pitch Javonte Williams. But as I sort of get into this range, it's like, all right, I'm giving up a lot at other positions to do that. So I'm probably not going to be in on that position. I'm interested in Chris Carson from a trading perspective in existing leagues. So, but that's a different story. I think that's probably an avoid range ultimately for the draft, for the actual draft, startup draft proper itself. As we sort of go up from there, we get to running back 21. And this is really this is kind of the line of demarcation, him and Josh Jacobs and Chris Carson. I guess Javonte Williams sort of fits in that as well. Of the guys locked in on multi-year deals that we think are going to be starters, we'll see on Javonte Williams, you know, when that comes to be. But I think over the next 36 months, you're probably going to see something like, you know, 30 of them where he's projected to be the starter would sort of be my thought. I don't think he's going to come in right away and unseat Melvin Gordon, for example. But, you know, Gordon's going significantly later. Gordon's going right next to A.J. Dillon at 10-10. I skipped over him as I was mentioning that list because, you know, it's an interesting – that range is very interesting. As we sort of get up here, it's a little bit more expensive, and I'm probably passing on some of these guys in this range. But you do have Jacobs 5-10. I think that's interesting. Montgomery 5-10 as well. So if you sort of came out of it with, hey, I was going to get three running backs in the top five rounds, and I could sort of hit, you know, if I hit Montgomery and Jacobs right in the 5 and 6 range, right, that's pretty notable there in terms of guys probably locked in on multi-year deals, and you know, you've got some leeway to begin your dynasty career with some volume running back. And I think that's a really attractive feature at that cost. You don't typically see guys with their profiles going there. So they're historical outliers. Miles Sanders is going ahead of them. I think that's egregious. Travis Etienne, 5.03. Again, that gap between him and Najee Harris, about 2 rounds. So that's still there. That should be closed down. Another gap that's inappropriate and probably should be closed down is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 4.06, which is a full round after Najee Harris as well. You know, and honestly, you sort of look at these guys, if you just take names away from it for a second and just look at base rates, again, we sort of do base rates, we do density, we do all those things. Edwards-Helaire, that's a premium platinum bulletproof, not bulletproof, premium platinum profile in terms of high-end upside, in terms of longevity, you know, basically 40%+ hit for multiple, you know, hit for basically 3 straight years after hitting in year one, when you sort of look at those first round guys. Going after guys like J.K. Dobbins, going after guys like DeAndre Swift, going after guys like Akers, going after guys like Taylor. And I just think about that, and I'm sort of cooling just a fraction on Taylor. Again, he's going much higher in rookie and startup drafts than he's projected to finish this year. There's little longevity issues in there as well, that to sort of contend with and debate with is running back 10 at sort of his age is pretty nice. Whereas that, you know, if you're paying that and you get that at Alvin Kamara, that's not so great. Because you're on sort of a shorter leash there with Kamara. But it's interesting when you sort of look at, you know, when you look at Swift, for example, and you look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Swift's already faced a little bit more competition in terms of Jamal Williams and potentially Todd Gurley. You tend not to see that quite as much with a first-round guy. I know there's not a ton of difference in terms of their where they actually went, you know, numerically in the draft, but that is a distinction that we really see. And there's some research. There's plenty of research to suggest that the order of which these guys go off in the round is much less significant than where they actually go and what round they actually go. So I think with Edwards-Helaire, that's pretty notable that I think he's a discount. Mixon is rising a little bit, 406. I think that's up maybe a round. He was going much closer to 20 in that Montgomery Jacobs range. So that's a notable thing. If you're looking to cash out, I think he's getting pushed up the board a little bit. So we'll watch for that. Antonio Gibson right there with him, 404. I think those guys are interesting in terms of, I think Mixon's an interesting sort of grungy multi-year bet in terms of, hey, it's a volume thing if he's healthy. I think that all projects for him, but maybe it's not total upside. That's kind of the thing there with him. And again, I kind of like his floor. If healthy, I like his floor. Don't necessarily love his ceiling. Same argument really for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I think more insulated and younger, obviously. So I get, if given the option to pick between the two, give me Edwards-Helaire. As we sort of go up a little bit more, there's some risk profiles. Aaron Jones, Elliott. I think I'd be more on Elliott. I think he's locked in a little bit more secure. We've seen more. I think he's a historic player. Again, Harris, Dobbins there in the third round with Swift, Akers, and Chubb. And Derrick Henry also in the third round. So that's a pretty loaded range. That third, fourth round tends to be a danger zone historically in drafts. And that's maybe a little bit, it's probably historically when comparing it, it's a little bit they're a little bit higher end running backs than we would historically see there in terms of some of the data. But I would just caution that those are not, that's not a ton of safety in that range. So even when you look at with Dobbins and Swift and Akers, right? If two out of three of those guys hit, right? If maybe one of them hits a couple of high end seasons, like that's about right. And so when you're sort of thinking about that, just exercise a little bit of caution. You know, can you cash Akers for Edwards-Helaire plus, right? Because if you can do that, I think it's a really interesting, that's a really interesting pivot. You know, can you do Swift to Edwards-Helaire plus? I think that's an interesting pivot. Obviously Harris, right? I think those are interesting pivots in terms of maybe a little bit more security, and you definitely like that plus aspect. If that's, you know, if it's a future first, that's awesome. If it's second to a first, right? Totally in on that. Those are the types of deals that I think can really pay off. I mean, you're basically trading between profiles. You actually might even be getting a better profile. And again, you take the name out of it for a second. That's a good place to start. And then you sort of look at it and say, all right, like maybe we're overestimating Akers as a community. As we sort of get up above there, again, I think there's an age debate you need to have with Kamara, Derrick Henry, Chubb. There's some risk there to be had. Again, I like those guys more in existing leagues than I probably do in startups, just because I think you've got less options. You've got less doors to open as you're sort of going and trying to figure out a way to get out of if you're walking down a hallway and there's only one door, like it's a bad horror movie, right? That's the setting of a bad horror movie. I like to have a lot of different doors that I can potentially escape. I want lots of fire escapes and not just the one door. And so that's kind of how I like to build earlier on. So I do think with a guy like Swift, with Akers, like that's the argument that you basically have, is you have a little bit more longevity. Whereas maybe I question some of the total ceiling and some of that stuff. That's a different debate than you're having with some of the age stuff, where you kind of know that, like, hey, if things don't go excellent this year, we're dealing with a falling knife situation. Up at the top, you basically have Dalvin Cook actually jumping up above Barkley and Taylor, which I think is notable. He's up there. McCaffrey is the running back one. Those other guys, it's much more of a tier, but I think it is notable that Dalvin Cook is in that tier, whereas he has not been in prior years and earlier on in the offseason. So that's probably, again, that's not something I'm probably going to do. If I'm in that range, I think I'm probably going quarterback, assuming it's one of the guys that we like you know, but I do think it's interesting, you know, and I've seen some scenarios where McCaffrey's fallen to the late first. Like, if you could stack McCaffrey and Barkley in the first two rounds, like if you had, you know, 110 and you know, 203, right, and that was and McCaffrey was available to you, and there was a bunch of you know, a bunch of quarterbacks going off or whatever, and Barkley somehow slid. Like, I think that's a really fascinating start, because that's, you know, four warp potential in a year. It's even higher than that, but I think that's, like, you could, if healthy, those guys could both put up two warp seasons and crush. I think that's a really interesting build type scenario. So, and there's range to do that. You know, it's not probably my optimal build, but if that situation presented itself, it'd be tough to pass on. So, and I think there's options in the Matt Ryan, you know, some of the quarterbacks we've talked about later on, you can do that. And I think that's a really notable, you know, pivot at the position. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode of Building Backwards at the Running Back Position. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.